special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Freedom Ministry on RBN. I am your host, Chris Switzer. If you wish to check out my video content, my body of work, and also a ton of videos I've just mirrored for posterity, for truth, you can check me out at bitchute.com, bitchute.com/the Freedom Ministry. And if you wish to email me, send me information, you know, you're a whistleblower, you just have a source, you have a question, whatever it is, please do so by contacting me at thefreedomministry@protonmail.com. I would prefer not to use Gmail because the NSA and Unit 8200 from Israel will surely be listening and watching. Before the break, the last hour, I was showing you who's who and who's Jew, and that Yeshua the Christ, the God of Israel in the flesh, was not a Jew by both race or religion. And he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Whose law? God's law. And to condemn and rebuke the tradition of the elders, the Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, King Herod and his court, and all of the Edomites and Canaanites, or the Areb, which is Hebrew for mixed or half-breed, mongrel. And just to paint the picture a little more, because many people, out of ignorance, say, Yeshua came from the Middle East. He came from the Middle East, Chris. He was dark. He was black. Or he was an Arab. That's today. You're looking at the people in that area geographically today, modern. It's changed a lot over the years. Use your heads. Back in those times, in Egypt, for example, the Egyptians would literally strike down a Negro, a black person, on sight if they crossed the Nile. It was law. It was law and it was custom, tradition, well ingrained into that part of the world. Things have changed over time. But at that time, that's how it was. And last week, I read to you from the report of Pontius Pilate, speaking plain of Jesus' crucifixion to Tiberius Caesar in Rome, which was at the head of the Holy Roman Empire. And if he were to lie at all in that report, it was his head, and his family would perish. His whole line, his whole familial line would be wiped out for his dishonor. But he didn't. He spoke the truth. And what did he say of Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth? That sweeter man he had never known? His countenance not like the tawny complexion of those around him in Judea? The Jews, the Canaanites, the Edomites, those in Herod's court, the Pharisees, the Sadducees? No, he said he had flowing, beautiful, golden hair. He had gray eyes. And he was divine. He believed he was divine. And he said he considered him a friend. He said he was more a friend of Rome than those Jews who he rebuked. And he repeated just what you see in Scripture. So that's a contemporaneous report, extra-biblical, not of the Bible, but it echoes it, of Jesus' countenance. He was a white man. He was a pure-blooded Israelite of the line of Judah through David, the womb of Miriam, Emmanuel. So don't tell me that he was black. Don't tell me he's an Arab, because you don't know your facts. You're just wrong. It's not the way it is. It's not truth, no matter how you want to dress it up or pervert the facts. And again, as I said in the beginning of the last hour, RBN is conducting the John Stattmiller book drive. They've been doing it since November 7th. And it's going to continue through January 8th. For details, you can visit republicbroadcasting.org. Please donate if you can, if you have the ability to. If you're in a position, do it. Don't think twice. We need to stay on the air. These messages need to be heard. Check the homepage, newsfeed, for RBN updates. Or again, you can call Sam, 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Call for Sam. It's 800-724-2719, extension 3. The truth will out. The truth will out. But during that time, as I left off, in Egypt, from the captivity, the Israelites, not all, but a lot, had violated the divine law against race mixing. On the Exodus, when the going became hard in the wilderness, the Bible records that this mixed multitude made a lot of trouble and led some of the Israelites into rebellion. See Numbers chapter 11, 4 through 6. This mongrelized group, Ereb, was still in the land after the return from the Babylonian captivity. For we find them listed in Nehemiah chapter 13, 3, as still in the land, and still a source of trouble. They also were among the Jews in Christ's time. Then there were the various Canaanite peoples who were still in the land, chief of whom were the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Amorites. When the Israelites were about to enter the promised land, Yahweh gave them specific instructions to completely drive out or exterminate all of these Canaanites, saying, quote, "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show any mercy unto them. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely, and it echoes, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. End quote. How else can you construe that? I hope you're following. You can see Numbers 33, 50 through 56, and Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 through 6, and chapter 20, 16 through 18. God never, ever contradicts himself. I know that it's not fashionable among the liberal Judaized church members, churchianity of today, to look down their noses at Yahweh God and say, quote, I just can't believe in that cruel God of the Old Testament. Look at where we're at today. Because we've compromised, right? And we've gone along to get along. And all the rest of it. It's a liberal, communist, Bolshevik rhetoric. However, I think he will manage very well without their belief. He always was a good reason for what he does or tells us to do. He always had a good reason, excuse me. The Bible never argues with you about the reasons for its rules. It just states the rule. Boom. This is it. And it always makes good sense. But there is always a good reason, if you will look for it. For about 2,000 years, the Canaanites had worshipped Baal and Ishtar, the most immoral religion in the world, with the possible exception of some Hindu religions even today. Part of the worship of Baal and Ishtar consisted of the compulsory prostitution of all the women. How does that sound, huh, woman? You want to be a prostitute? On certain festival days of the year, all the women of the village had to sit in the field outside the village gate, and any wandering camel driver who came along could select a woman of his choice, hand her the coin which she must pay over to the temple, then take her aside and leave her with syphilis or gonorrhea, as the case might be. Beautiful. This funneled into Palestine, the venereal diseases of all Western Asia. Any doctor can tell you that one infection of syphilis, not cured, can produce degenerative changes in the children for as many as four generations. But the Canaanites had been replenishing the disease with new infections every generation for 2,000 years. They were not physically, mentally, morally, or spiritually fit to marry or even associate with our people. And for good reason. This isn't out of hatred. This is out of love for our people, for God and his chosen creation. Therefore, God warned the Israelites to exterminate them. If you do not, he warned them, you will have integration. Your children will grow up with theirs as playmates. They will intermarry until you become as badly polluted as they are, and I will have to destroy you as I am commanding you to destroy them. How about that? Are there consequences to your disobedience? just as there are consequences to the disobedience of your earthly parents, your father here on earth, or there should, there are grave consequences for disobedience to Father Yahweh. But the Israelites are often soft-hearted and soft-headed. Empathy, compassion. They have their place, folks. But while they did exterminate the people of Jericho and a couple other cities, the Bible records that they left most of the others alive, merely making them pay a heavy tribute tax. For example, the city of Jerusalem was inhabited by the Jebusites at the time the Israelites came in. The Bible records that the Jebusites were neither killed nor driven out, but continued to live among the people of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Big mistake. See Joshua chapter 15, 63, Judges 1, 21, and 27 through 35 verses, and chapter 19, verses 10 through 12, and 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verses 7 through 8. Even after the people of the southern kingdom of Judah returned from the 70-year captivity in Babylon, the Jebusites were still in the land, and some of the people were intermarrying among them. You can see Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 2, and Nehemiah chapter 13, 23 through 29. And the Bible records the same thing as to the other Canaanite peoples. Further proof of this is found in various places, such as Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Quote, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite." God could not have said this truthfully to any real Israelites. But he was not saying it to Israelites, was he? He said it to the city of Jerusalem and the people occupying that place at that time. They were in large part Canaanite Jews, and they had gained power in the manner by which Jews usually gain power. Hence, Jerusalem was becoming more and more corrupt, as most of the prophets record. And what did most of those prophets meet as their fate? Off with their heads. They surrounded, and because the influential advisors of the kings of Judah, just as today they surround, are the principal advisors of our president, we find clear proof of this in Isaiah chapter 3, 8 through 9, where he says, quote, "For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because of their tongues and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them." That's important. "And they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, aye, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. The show of their countenance doth witness against them." Think of that. In China, where their rulers were Chinese, you couldn't say, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them." No. You know why? They all look the same. Their faces would be just like those of the rest of the Chinese. And in Sweden, where the ruling class were Swedes, you couldn't say their faces were witness against them, for they had the same Swedish faces as the rest of the people had. But in Jerusalem, the faces of the Canaanite Jebusite Jews identified them and were a witness against them. The true Israelites were not hook-nosed. The ancient kings of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, they were very vain about their military conquest, and they left carved stone monuments telling how they captured this city and that one, killed so many people here, enslaved the others there, etc. And on these monuments, they usually had carved in the stone pictures what the captive people looked like. When they showed Israelites, the faces had straight noses and were generally of Anglo-Saxon type. But when they showed Canaanites, the faces were those of the typical hook-nosed Jews. Your skeletal system does not lie, folks. Therefore, the faces of the Canaanite Jebusite Jews who gained controlling power as merchants, bankers, and advisors of the kings, the wealthy ruling class, identified them as separate from the real Israelites. Quote, "The show of their countenance doth witness against them," end quote. They had brought ruin upon the kingdom of Judah. Now go back and read the many places where Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel condemned the wickedness which was found in Jerusalem. Don't you find the same conditions existing in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, and the center of it all in America, Washington, D.C., the Beltway, where large numbers of the same people have gained power through their wealth? Is there anything new under the sun, folks? So we find that there were still large numbers of Canaanites in the land, integrated with the real Israelites and Judahites, and bringing the lowering of standards which integration always brings. Look at the city of Washington, D.C., for example. Inner city slum. Besides the Jebusites in Jerusalem, the Bible records that the other Canaanite peoples, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Amorites, were not exterminated or driven out, but merely conquered and made to pay a tribute tax, and left in the land to be integrated with the people, and by consequence, corrupt them. So these Canaanites were another element of the Jews in the time of Yeshua the Christ. You will remember that when the people of Israel left Egypt, they were accompanied by a mixed mongrel multitude. The same is true of the return of the remnant of the people of the kingdom of Judah from their captivity in Babylon. Both captivities. And the Jews in Yeshua's time, when talked to about bondage, said, "We've never been slaves," right? Remember that? So they're admitting that they're not Israel. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah record the return. They show that the total number who returned was 42,360. But they also show that among these were many who were not Israelites of any tribe. They were Babylonians who had come with them in order to get in on the ground floor, as the saying is. And they had even infiltrated into the priesthood. But it says that these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy, but they were found not. When you add up the total of all these other elements listed in Ezra and Nehemiah, they equal 8,381 of these alien Babylonians. About one-fifth of all the people who returned from Babylon to Palestine. So they also formed another element of the Jews in the land of Yeshua Christ's time. One more, and we complete the list. That is the Edomites. Yes, folks, the Edomites. You will remember that Esau and Jacob were twin brothers, but Esau was a man of such low character that we have God's own testimony in Malachi 1, 2, and 3, quote, "Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau," end quote. You see, Jacob kept the race line pure, and God changed his name to Israel and made him the father of Yahweh's own chosen people, Israel. But Esau, he married two Canaanite wives and one Ishmaelite wife, and left only half-breed mongrel children. See Genesis 26, 34 through 35, Genesis 27:46 and 36, verse 2. As his mongrel descendants could not marry into the true Shemitic line, he moved out from among them and went down to Mount Seir, the rugged range of mountains southeast of the Dead Sea, and this land was called Edom, or occasionally by the Grecianized form of the word Edomia, Edomia. Therefore, his descendants were called Edomites. This is all of Herod's people were Edomites, folks. See Genesis 33:16 and Genesis 36:1-9. There they had a long and troublesome history. Here it is. Esau's grandson was Amalek, father of the tribe of Amalek. Amalek isn't white people. Amalek isn't the Western, Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic, Celtic peoples. No. It's the mongrel line of Esau, who were such an evil lot that in Exodus 17:14-16, Yahweh said that he could have perpetual war with Amalek until they were all destroyed. The Edomites constantly harassed the northern portion of Israel until King Saul beat them off about 1087 BC. But Saul disobeyed God's command to exterminate them, and for his disobedience, God deposed him as king in favor of David. See 1 Samuel 15:1-26. But even David didn't exterminate them, and there was a long history of wars between Edom and Israel, later with Judah. You will find it in 2 Kings 8:14 and 2 Chronicles 20:25. It's all there. The whole book of Obadiah is devoted to God's condemnation of Edom's treacherous attack upon the kingdom of Judah when Judah was being conquered by Babylon. During the Babylonian captivity of Judah, the land lay practically empty, and during this period, the people of Edom, partly from opportunity and partly from pressure against them from the east, they moved into the vacant southern half of the old kingdom of Judah. You can see the article Edom in Funk and Wagnall's New Standard Bible Dictionary, pages 198-99, and Scribner's Dictionary of the Bible, volume 1, pages 644-646. From this new area, they continued to harass the little nation which returned from Babylon, from the captivity. By about 142 BC, the returned exiles of Judah won complete independence under the Maccabean line of kings. And about 120 BC, John Hyrcanus, one of the Maccabean kings, conquered the Edomites. But he too, instead of exterminating them, he took them into his kingdom, offering them full citizenship if they would give up their paganism and adopt the religion of Judaism. Not God's law, but man's Talmudic Judaism. This they did, and from 120 BC they were full citizens of the kingdom. You can see Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews, Book 13, Chapter 9, and see also the Jewish Encyclopedia, Article Edom, Volume 5, page 41. Right in a Jewish source, folks. They don't want you to know this stuff, but it's true. By 69 BC, incompetent leadership and intrigue within the Maccabean monarchy, together with the rising power of Rome in Western Asia, gave opportunity to Antipater, called Antipas, an Edomite chieftain. And don't go anywhere, folks. We'll return right after the break. Stay tuned.
Orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorney. Shut up. Do not attempt.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Freedom Ministry, and I am your host, Chris Switzer. Going over some powerful truths today. And I'm not done just yet. This is the beginning. I was just getting into the beginning of the Herodian family, their rise to power. The founder, of course, is Antipas, an Edomite chieftain, a Jew. And I'm reading from the complete works of Bertrand Comparé with my own insight and commentary here and there. We're on page 290 of the PDF. By bribery, boldness, and military skill, he gained the favor of Rome, and the Romans made him procurator, or governor, of Judea. His son, Herod I, beginning as governor of Galilee, used the same methods to secure appointment as king in Judea in 40 BC. And by 37 BC, he had gained complete control of Judea. He maintained himself in power by extreme ruthlessness and by bribery, for which he taxed the people very heavily. And you'll recall, of course, the New Deal, the Raw Deal, the Great Society, we got the Green New Deal now, are not so new after all. There's nothing new under the sun. This is the same Herod who had all the little male children in Bethlehem murdered, trying to murder Yeshua the Christ before he became who he was and fulfilled prophecy. His son Herod Archelaus held the governorship. The Romans didn't trust him with the crown for 10 years of astonishingly evil misrule from 4 BC to 6 AD, after which the Romans convicted him of crimes and removed him. And thereafter, Judea was governed by Roman procurators, of whom Pontius Pilate was number 6. Nevertheless, the Romans left practically complete power of local government in the hands of the Herodian Edomites, who had complete control of the temple and power to enforce all their local laws. And of course, if you know your Bible, you'll remember how Pontius Pilate tried to get out of condemning Yeshua, telling the Jews, quote, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." John chapter 18, verse 31. These Edomite Jews could say that Abraham was an ancestor of theirs through Esau, as they did in John 8:33. But this Hebrew blood through Esau had been diluted, as we learned earlier, to the vanishing point by 1,700 years of marrying only people of Canaanite racial stocks. Think about it. Therefore, Yeshua rebuked them for falsely claiming to still be of Abrahamic lineage, and therefore inferring that they are Israelites. For he told them in John chapter 8, verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him." You should look very carefully and observe the 8th chapter of John, verses 31 through 47. These were Jews to whom Yeshua was speaking, and the Bible identifies them as Jews. In the Jewish Encyclopedia, the article of Edom concludes with the words, quote, here it is, "The Edomites today are found in modern Jewry," end quote. Mic drop. So was Yeshua, Jesus Christ, a Jew? Was he, brethren? Don't let anybody tell you that. Now let us review for a moment what we have covered. We have seen that Yeshua the Christ was not a Jew by religion, for the Jews based their religion on the Babylonian Talmud, which was at that time called the tradition of the elders. And Yeshua's whole ministry was one constant battle against the evils of Judaism. We have seen that Yeshua the Christ was a true Israelite of the tribe of Judah, by blood, by race. And we have seen that the Jews of his time included the mongrel descendants of Shelah, the mongrel mixed multitude which followed the Israelites out of Egypt, and the various Canaanite peoples in Palestine, including the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Amorites. Now, do you understand why Yeshua the Christ, who said that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, told these Jews that, quote, "I know my sheep, and they know me, but ye, you Jews, believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In the 10th chapter of John. The tiny remnant of Judah and Benjamin, which came back to Palestine from the Babylonian captivity, did leave some descendants in Palestine. But these were Yeshua's sheep. And he himself said he knew them, and they knew him, and they followed him. All those in Palestine who became Christians were true members of the tribe of Judah or the tribe of Benjamin, but they were not Jews. And the Jews were not members of Judah, Benjamin, or any other Israelite tribe. For Yeshua the Christ himself said they were not of his sheep. Now we know who it was who constituted the Jews in Yeshua the Christ's time. If you want to bring it down to date and find out who are the Jews in our own day, we must add one more racial element. Of course, the descendants of the Jews of Yeshua, his day, are among them, but there is also another element, the Khazars. These make up the Slavic Jews of today. Meanwhile, we must return to the Jews of Palestine for a few words. As you know, by AD 68, the Romans had found the rascality of the Palestinian Jews so intolerable that they began the campaign which resulted in the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. The Jews were then expelled from Palestine, and most of them migrated in large numbers to what was then called Byzantium, later called Constantinople, and today is known as Istanbul, Turkey, right? The Turk roaches, facing the Bosphorus, outlet of the Black Sea. Here they demonstrated the truth of the Bible's lesson. The conduct is the product of character. For in Yeshua, the Christ's own words, quote, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do, end quote. By about the year 300 AD, their rascality had again become so intolerable that they were again expelled. And they moved northeast into the Khazar kingdom. How many times does a people need to be expelled before you think, there's a problem here. What are they doing? And should we accept them into our lands? Fools abound. About the year 150 AD, the Khazars, an Asiatic people related to the Turks, migrated westward from Central Asia and established a great empire which covered what is today southwestern Russia, north of the Aral Sea, the Caspian Sea, and the Black Sea, including the Don and Dnieper valleys and the Crimea. About 740 AD, Bulan, the Khagan, or King of the Khazars, was converted to the religion of Judaism, Talmudism, together with some 4,000 of the most powerful nobility of the kingdom. In those days, it was not healthful for a subject to be in a religion in conflict with that of the king, or with the baron on whose land he lived. So in due course, most of the Khazars became Jews by religion. In fact, it became part of the kingdom's constitution that no one but a Jew by religion could be king. The principal languages spoken were the Khazar, called Yiddish today, and Turkish. Turkish. During the Great Invasion by the Mongols under Genghis Khan, many of the Judaized Khazars were dispersed into what is now Poland and Lithuania. Poland and Lithuania. These Khazars, Jews by religion, constitute the Slavic Jews of today, those with names such as Minsky and Baranov and Moskowitz, the latter often shortened to Mosk. Also, since much of the western part of this area has been at one time or another ruled by Austrian or Germanic peoples who brought in their own language, these Khazars also took Germanic names, such as Gold or Goldberg, Rosenberg, Eisler, and so forth. If you're wondering how they can be so much like the other Jews, historical documents written at the time of the Khazar Empire was at its greatest height refer to their tradition that their ancestors originally came from the region of Mount Seir, which is Edom, the home of the Edomite Jews. And we do have a caller. Thank you for calling in and holding, Andy in Texas. Hey, Andy.
Well, thanks, Chris, for taking my call. Now, don't take me the wrong way here. I'm not criticizing anybody's religion, anybody's faith or whatever to anything. But we have so many religions out there, from Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism. You got the Talmud, you've got the Torah, you got all these different visions and stuff. I mean, how do we discern between, I mean, other than faith, there's got to be something before. How do we tell these people that they're wrong if Christianity is the right religion, that, you know, believing in Christ is the one and only way to God? How do we tell these other religions that they don't match up to Christianity? How does that happen?
Yeah, they're not of his sheep. That's why they don't follow him. Not only that, you judge a tree by its fruit. These are simple things throughout the Bible that just make plain truths very evident. It's as plain as the noses on their faces. Look at what they've done.
Well, what would you say to a guy who's reading the Talmud and he believes this, such as you believe the Bible, that you believe in, that they believe the same way? I mean,
that's why we're at enmity. Sure.
Yes. Yes. No. Absolutely. And see, I'm not trying to discourage anybody's faith or not. I'm a Gnostic guy trying to live through life, trying to figure out why I'm here and how come I'm here, and I haven't got any deliverance that I need. And I have prayed to God. I pray to the Creator, whoever it is that created me. I pray to that gentleman all the time. I'm often talking to him just by walking down the street or walking in my work or whatnot. I'll say stuff to him. I talk to him, and I get answers, and I get nothing affirmative. So yes, there is a certain amount of faith that is involved in being a part of any type of religion or whatnot, but it boggles me how any one person, and I'm not specifically saying you, but any one person in their life can come to a conclusion without saying faith. I mean, writings are one thing, but go ahead.
No, it is faith. You're right. You're absolutely right. And there's also facts that back up all of it. The Bible doesn't contradict itself, unlike these other texts. The Talmud?
Oh,
sure it does.
Okay.
It's a man-made religion.
All right. Okay. There you go. So now I'm making progress. So the Talmud and the whole Buddhist and all, they have contradictions in their writings?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, and because I didn't study all of them, I'm asking you the question. I'm not actually looking through it, you know, because one person's faith, I mean, one religion is a religion, and then just a spirituality person is someone different, and that's where I find myself, that I do have spirituality. I don't obtain any kind of religion or follow any kind of religion. Now, am I talking to the same God that Christians are? Perhaps I am, or the Talmud. Perhaps I am. I any one of these books or beliefs and stuff, I am talking to somebody, and I do feel like I always get chills down my back when I feel like he's giving me an answer or whatnot. But I mean, I just color me a little bit confused on religion and stuff. That's why I probably haven't got into it. Maybe you can enlighten me just a hair bit more as to how we can say one religion is more true than the other, besides, okay, you said there's some contradictions and stuff. Maybe that should be a show where you show all the contradictions. I know you've spoken about them in the past, you know, but maybe you can go down the list of different religions and show how they contradict the truth.
That's a great idea. Perhaps I will. Absolutely, because, people should know why. You're absolutely right. And the Bible does not contradict itself.
Yes, and see, and so that's the question I'm asking, and I guess I'm asking you to do the work that I could probably do myself, you know?
That's fine. Yeah, that's a great request, and, it shall be done. It shall be
Fantastic. Fantastic. Right. That will help my Gnosticism to move itself forward. I appreciate you, Chris. Thank you so much.
You got it. No problem, Andy. Great question. I want my brethren, I want the remnant of the lost tribes of Israel, his sheep, to come back. I do. And I hope that Andy and anybody like Andy with questions, they might be Gnostic, they might have faith but want more of it, right? They want proof. To know that when you're talking to him, you're talking to the Creator. You're not talking to these little g gods. The God of the Talmud is not Yahweh. In the Talmud, they say that Jesus is boiling in excrement for eternity. Okay? Among other things. I don't even want to say the rest. But like Andy asked, and ask and you shall receive, I will put together a show with contradictions from other religions, showing that the man-made religions and doctrines or traditions of elders do not hold a candle to God's word and instruction, the way, the truth, the life. The Bible is not a religion. I don't agree with that sentiment. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll return right after the break. Be right back.
May gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now...
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We interrupt this program with a special bulletin. America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Freedom Ministry on RBN, and I am your host, Chris Switzer. A great request by Andy, and something I shall put together, The Contradictions of Man's Religion, Traditions of Man, and Why the Bible is the Truth, the Way, and the Life. If you wish to look up further details, speaking about the Khazars, you can do it with brief articles and encyclopedias such as the Britannica. The Jewish Encyclopedia has 6 pages on it. In some it's spelled Khazar, and in some it's Chazar with a CH, and even other variations, but it's the same thing. It's also discussed in A History of the Jews by Solomon Grazel. It's in A History of the Jews by Professor H. Gretz, both works being published by the Jewish Publication Society of America. Jewish sources, okay? The most thorough discussion of the whole problem is found in the magnificent bit of historical research, and a caller brought it up, I think, last week, and it's a book I own, The Iron Curtain Over America by Colonel John Beatty. It's brilliant. Colonel Beatty is a historian and professor of history whose works are used as a textbook in more than 700 colleges and universities. Iron Curtain Over America is one of the most thoroughly documented and accurate works ever put in print. It should be in the library of every patriotic American and follower of Yahweh. Perhaps you're wondering, why does my Bible sometimes speak well of Jews? Right? Such as Paul saying in Romans that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in Acts, Paul saying that he was a Jew of Tarsus. And we don't have to really get into Paul. That's a whole nother show on it of itself, okay? Paul, Saul. But this does bring up a great point, because you need a good concordance, such as Strong's. You will find that in each instance, the translators have miswritten the word Jew in English, where it was not used in the original Greek, from which they mistranslated it. In such instances, in the original Greek, the word used was iodeos, which does not mean Jew, but simply Judean, a person whose home is in the land of Judea or southern Palestine. It has no religious connotation. It has no racial connotation. It's purely a geographic term, like Californian, right? Texan. A Texan can be white, black, brown, or yellow by race, and he could be a Christian, Jew, Buddhist, or atheist. See also Iodaos. I'm not pronouncing it probably correctly. The Greek was merely a person who lived in Judea, whereas we saw there were some few Israelites of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, but there were far more Canaanite Jews, and also a general mixture of Romans, Greeks, Syrians, Egyptians, etc. So it's true that Christian salvation was first offered in the land of Judea, hence to those who were living there, the Iodaos, and later, as the apostles traveled from city to city, it was soon offered to the Greeks, to the nations, but it was never offered to the Jews as a preferred class. For you will remember that Yeshua taught only in hard-to-understand parables when he knew they were around. And he explained it privately and plain to his disciples, explaining that he spoke of
that individual will.
Thank you for listening, folks. God bless you. God mit uns. God is with us, brother.
Two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drug prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you demanded is now mandated.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.